Unstoppable Sound Agency.
Welcome to this edition of Move to Amend Reports, where we connect you with activists and organizers working on the front lines of the democracy movement to bring you the lowdown on corporate rule, corporate personhood, and money as speech. This is the space to find the info you need to help pass the We the People Amendment and legalize democracy. I'm Laura Bonham, and...
I'm Keon Bliss, filling in for Egberto Willis.
Coming up next, we have a conversation with Mississippi organizer Brandon King of the Worker Cooperative Network Cooperation Jackson about the need for economic democracy and countering the surge of racism in southern states stemming from what is known as the Confederate Spring. We'll get the ball rolling after a quick public service announcement.
To learn more about corporate personhood, money as protected political speech, and how to get involved with Move to Amend, visit movetoamend.org. Don't forget to sign the petition and join over 400,000 people supporting the We the People Amendment at movetoamend.org/motion. You can also text the word sign to 707-656-4019.
Help raise awareness about the movement to amend the Constitution by hosting your own house party for democracy. Invite family, friends, and neighbors for a screening of our mini-documentary, Legalize Democracy. To find the film and learn how to get started with your house party, visit movetoamend.org/houseparties. That's one word, movetoamend.org/houseparties.
You are listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we bring you the voices from the movement to amend the Constitution and abolish corporate rule.
Joining us today is the founder and organizing coordinator of Cooperation Jackson, Brandon King. Cooperation Jackson is an emerging network of worker cooperative and supporting institutions fighting to create economic democracy by creating a vibrant solidarity economy in Jackson, Mississippi, that will help transform Mississippi and the South. Brandon also serves as the anchor for Freedom Farms Cooperative, a farming cooperative aimed at providing healthy, naturally grown produce within a community that traditionally doesn't have access. He also currently serves as a representative to the National Black Food Justice Alliance, the Our Power Campaign's Climate Justice Alliance, and sits on the board of the Southern Grassroots Economies Project, SGEP, and Southern Reparation Loan Fund, SLRF. He was born in Portsmouth, Virginia, holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in sociology with an international emphasis from Hampton University, and currently lives in Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to the show, Brandon. Thanks for being here.
Thank you all for having me.
It's great to have you with us, Brandon. Thank you so much for joining us. Mississippi gets some deservedly bad press. The plethora of far-right Koch-sponsored bills that swept through its legislature last May is the stuff of Democratic nightmares. But some good folks in Jackson, like yourself, are having none of it. Cooperation Jackson is an emerging vehicle for sustainable community development, economic democracy, and community ownership. Brandon, please tell us more about the mission of Cooperation Jackson, why you're involved, and your specific role.
Cooperation Jackson, the goal of Cooperation Jackson is to achieve a semblance of economic democracy here in Jackson, Mississippi, but also throughout the South. We see that happening by building, you know, a network of worker-owned institutions that, one, I feel like helps to create community wealth and helps to build equity. But two, and I think probably the most important thing is being in control over your labor makes you more of a human being. It means that you have more of your humanity if you're in control over your own labor. And for us, you know, to be in a community that has been disinvested, to be in a community that has been deindustrialized, kind of like folks have been forgotten about, it means a whole lot to kind of shift that relationship, our relationship to the land, and also our relationship to work. Cooperation Jackson is a part of a political project that is geared towards making that sort of transformation happen.
Brandon, what you just said really resonated with me, and there's something in there that I want to lift up for our listeners so they really take it to heart. We retain more of our humanity when we have control of our own labor. That's a simple concept to understand, and I think most of our listeners will understand the phrase economic democracy, but Cooperation Jackson also talks about it as a solidarity economy. Please explain this nuance, Brandon, because it's important and relevant to our work at Move to Amend.
So solidarity economy, for me, it differs from economic democracy in the way that it includes all aspects of life, not just work. So when we're talking, the way it looks on the ground here is, you know, along with us creating the network of worker-owned institutions, we're also building out a sustainable community. Like, we want to create an eco-village, a work, live, play, learn community, you know, where people have access to cooperative housing, where people have access to solar energy, where people have access to community farms, so fresh organic food. And yeah, so it's building out a way or a method of us sharing the resources and sharing the different things that we have with each other, you know, from doing things like trade or gift economy, you know, but also, you know, living in same spaces and sharing and using spaces together collectively. So not just in the workplace, but also in all aspects of life, how can we be in solidarity with each other?
That is a recurring theme that I've been hearing in other social justice circles, particularly from the recent North American Social Solidarity Economy Forum in Detroit that you and I attended. Can you describe the specific programs Cooperation Jackson has and hopes to establish?
So the first class of cooperatives that we have and the way that we're thinking about doing our cooperatives is in a way that we're creating a closed ecosystem of cooperatives where each of the co-ops are interconnected and interdependent. And so we're starting with a farming cooperative called Freedom Farm, which is named after Fannie Lou Hamer, who also was a part of a farming cooperative back in the day when she was fired from her job as a sharecropper for fighting the vote. She actually, it was the Black farming cooperatives that kind of helped her to pay her bills, helped her to eat. And so we wanted to kind of uplift that legacy and uplift the work that she did by naming it Freedom Farm. So we have Freedom Farm. We have Nubia's Place Cafe and Catering Cooperative. Nubia's Place is named after Nubia Lumumba, who is the late partner of the late mayor, Shokwe Lumumba, who was a huge asset, a huge person who contributed a lot to Jackson in the arts and culture. And so, yeah, so that's named after her. And then we have, they just changed the name. It was Mississippi Waste Alternative, but they changed it to Green Team. And the Green Team is basically a recycling, composting, and landscaping cooperative. And we also have Revolutionary Resonance Arts and Culture Cooperative that is housed in the Lumumba Center, which is our place that we do the co-op development, but we also do different trainings and education and programming for the community. And so the way that it works is, you know, we grow food in the farm, you know, whatever food that we grow, it goes to service the cafe and catering cooperative. Whatever refuse that happens to come from the cafe, you know, goes to the recycling co-op. You know, that refuse gets changed back in the compost, and the compost, you know, goes back into the ground, which goes back into the farm, you know, which goes back into, you know, it's growing more plants. And the Arts and Culture Cooperative is actually the group that is responsible for doing programming at the center to draw traffic into the Lumumba Center for people to use the cafe, you know. And so all of these different co-ops, they work together. They're interdependent, interconnected, and it's a closed ecosystem. Like, one of the main reasons we're thinking about doing it this way is because we've seen the way that, like, a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, a lot of institutions kind of don't have a forward mind in thinking about sustainability and also being kind to this planet. You know, whatever we take out, whatever we use, we want to put it back, and we want to put back extra because we know that the earth has been so damaged. And so, in thinking of our businesses and thinking of the institutions that we want to build, we want to build it out in a way that there is a transition. There is a just transition from, you know, a fossil fuel economy, from, you know, an economy that thinks about people before, that thinks about profit before people, you know, all of these things. We want to shift that, you know, and flip it on its head, you know, and put people at the heart of everything that we're doing.
And that rings of Mayor Chakwe Lumumba, and obviously his spirit is living on in the residents participating in your work. What is his impact on Cooperation Jackson and you personally?
His impact is tremendous, right? Cooperation Jackson kind of it formed. It actually wasn't supposed to form until like maybe like 3 or 4 years from now. And Chakwe Lumumba was an instrumental part of having a vision to transform Jackson. And a big part of his vision was building out cooperative institutions and institutions that will build economic democracy here. And so our building is named after him. It's called the Chakwe Lumumba Center for Economic Democracy and Development. You know, he has a shrine here. His spirit lives here. His son is actually running for mayor. That legacy still exists and is still prevalent and is still alive here in Jackson. For me, I got connected to the work here in Jackson from being a member of the Malcolm X grassroots movement. I came down to New Orleans after post-Katrina, and I came down to Jackson after I found out about a lot of the different transformative work happening in Jackson. You know, people came up with this thing called the Jackson Cush Plan, folks from the New African People's Organization and the Malcolm X grassroots movement. And that Jackson Cush Plan is kind of like a rubric or like a model for how we would like to transform the South, you know, but starting with Jackson. And the reason that came up was because of crisis, you know, climate crisis, but also climate crisis that is exacerbated by like human negligence, you know, so Hurricane Katrina and people in Mississippi trying to figure out how to shift things and how to build back their city. Right. And so what happened was folks set up these things called survival council meetings that eventually led into people's assemblies. And people's assemblies are basically places where folks can come together and figure out how to self-govern and figure out what things that they want to fix in the city and figure out collectively how they can do it. Some of these ideas come out of the Global South in terms of thinking about building dual power to the existing power structure, you know, but also like, you know, people being more determined, more self-determined and engaged in the process of transforming their lives instead of like just idly, passively kind of letting life happen to them. And so all of these things were happening and percolating. And when Chakwe ran for mayor and he became mayor of Jackson, I had just turned like 30. I just turned 30. And it's kind of a big shift for me because I had been in New York City for the past 6 years, doing a lot of fight back, you know, fighting back against a lot of the reactionary kind of things that were happening from people being displaced, from houselessness, from also like police brutality, you know, and, you know, extrajudicial killings. And I felt like in New York, you know, we would get victories here and there, but, you know, there would be small victories and just the overlaying, it felt like a hamster's wheel. And I'm not moving forward and I'm not really making a dent in anything happening. And for me, I made a promise to myself that like in my life, I will not be a status quo manager. And in my life, I want to see social transformation happen in real concrete ways. And I'm going to do what it takes for me to make that happen. And I felt like with my skill set, being an organizer, being a cultural worker, it made a lot of sense. And also with me having the politics that I have, it made a lot of sense for me to move down to Jackson. And so, yeah, I've been here ever since. It's been about 2.5 years.
You said a lot of stuff there, and a lot of what you said really rang true for me in that, you know, really making your effort count and that kind of thing. But one thing I really want to pick up on is the People's Movement Assembly process from the Global South that you were talking about. We too at Move to Amend have done some People's Movement Assemblies on what a new constitution looks like as we try to envision a, a real democracy working in our country, you know, transforming our country. And we've found, I just want to speak a little bit more to that, how empowering that is and how anybody can put on a people's movement assembly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a thing about agency, right? And like people deciding that, like, yeah, these things matter to us. These things matter in our lives, and we can self-organize to make sure that we have an impact on the things that matter in our lives. And yeah, it's really inspiring to see that there are places all over the world that folks are engaged in that, and not just allowing the people who we quote unquote elect to do or in many cases not do the things that positively affect our communities.
Well said. It's really inspiring for somebody who doesn't live in Jackson, Mississippi, and there are a lot of us, obviously, to know that these processes that we're using in our organizations and we see working in other countries are actually being utilized and applied in self-government right here in Jackson, Mississippi, in the United States of America, and we can do it. And thank you for your leadership on that front. What other, besides Lumumba, what other influences you inform your mission and work? You mentioned Fannie Lou Hamer, and I know you have a really interesting logo, I thought, that reaches back into Black history.
And so the logo, kind of like a machine, kind of like cog machine, but it also has Adinkra symbols. And the Adinkra symbols, the three different ones, the one in the middle means Cooperation Jackson, or means cooperation. And then the two on the side, one means unity, and the other one means democracy. And so for us, it's drawing upon these systems and kind of ways of relating that exist in our communities before a cooperative was even a word, but it is kind of a way of being. That being our guiding force, and not just being caught up in kind of like building co-ops just for the sake of building co-ops, but knowing that like our purpose is a lot deeper than numbers or figures or markets. You know, it's about transforming everything. You know, the ways that we relate. And so, yeah, so with the logo is that, I mean, I feel like, yeah, just in general, Mississippi has had, you know, it may get a bad rap, you know, for, you know, all of the reactionary, you know, things that happen here. And I think that reactionary, those reactionary things that folks in Mississippi have been facing have actually prepared people for a level of struggle that I feel like is necessary in these times. That's one of the reasons why. It makes so much sense for people that want to see change happen, you know, for Black people to move down. You know, Mississippi has the highest number of Black elected officials, but it's still the poorest state in the union, you know, and it still has the highest like health disparity. For me and like for folks in our organization, for folks in the Malcolm X grassroots movement, they saw that as people having agency, people deciding, Black people being self-determined, Black people deciding, you know, to have our people in these offices. You know, those offices, those positions didn't necessarily translate to an increase or like a betterment of folks' material conditions, but that does show a reflection of where people's heads are at, you know, and in that they will engage, you know, in a process, you know, so that's one thing. You know, being in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, mentioning, you know, Mecca Evers, mentioning like Emmett Till, like all of these things, all of these histories, like that's in the soil. That's in the soil of Mississippi. And you can see it reflected just in the people. People here are so strong. I think our problem is just lack of organization. And we're working on that. We're getting there.
We'll continue this conversation after a quick public service announcement.
Are you part of a faith or ethical community whose values and principles are being violated by corporate actions? We, the people of the Move to Amend Interfaith Caucus, share in common a variety of values and principles. In this unity, we find the short-sighted and single-minded drive for profits by certain corporations has led to the degradation of the environment and our society.
Corporate power has come to dominate our existence, with the values and principles we all hold dear being routinely violated by powerful corporations using their so-called personhood to influence elections, legislation, regulations, and judicial outcomes in their favor and at our expense. It is the purpose of the Interfaith Caucus to engage faith and ethical communities and educate about how the work of ending corporate rule can be approached from a spiritual, ethical, or religious perspective. Working together at national, state, local, and faith community levels, we can pass the We the People Amendment. Join us on our monthly calls the third Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Visit movetoamend.org/interfaith-caucus for more information.
You can support Move to Amend reports and other Move to Amend programs by joining our $28 for the 28th Amendment monthly sustainer campaign. Pledge $28 a month and help make the We the People Amendment our 28th Amendment to the Constitution. Visit movetoamend.org/donate to sign up.
You are listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we connect the dots between the current issues of our time and the nature of corporate rule. We're talking with the founder and organizing coordinator for Cooperation Jackson, Brandon King, about the need for economic democracy and countering the surge of racism stemming from what is known as the Confederate Spring.
Creating alternative successful models for other communities to duplicate is a big task and necessary for our long-term sustainability. Brandon, your work also includes a political arm, which works to counter the resurgence of racist policies, new and old, which reinforce the system of white supremacy as it exists today. What exactly is the Confederate Spring taking hold in the South, and how are Jackson residents fighting back?
So, yeah, the Confederate Spring is something that we coined, is a phrase kind of going off of like the Arab Spring. And I mean, the reason that we came up with it was to kind of highlight a lot of the reactionary, you know, laws and bills and stuff that they were trying to pass this past legislative session back in February. And so, you know, our goal was to try to, you know, expose it as much as we could, and but also create divisions within the right by making our language so explicit and to try to polarize folks who, you know, may have been down if the language wasn't so explicit. And so, I mean, some of the things that they were thinking about doing was, you know, one is trying to take our airport. They put out a bill to try to take our airport. There was another bill that we call the Downtown Annexation Bill, which they wanted to have the whole downtown area sectioned off and controlled by the state, and to have, you know, two representatives who were chosen by the governor that from the city of Jackson, but to put in their own police and to have their own and whatever revenue that is generated from that that area would actually stay with the state and not contribute to anything for Jackson, which is a city that is kind of crumbling, right? The other thing was the racial profiling immigrant targeting bill. They're also trying to do something similar that's going on around the country in terms of like trying to gut public schools and create charter schools and privatization and all of that kind of stuff. You know, they're still trying to regionalize the water. That was one thing why it was really cool to go up to Detroit for that Social Solidarity Economies Forum, was to be able to connect with folks in Detroit about the emergency manager kind of schemes and things that they try to do to take power away from the people. And so Detroit being ahead of the curve in that, like, we got a lot of resources just in terms of, and also can anticipate what sort of things may be down the pipeline with the water. And then just with the flag and Confederate History Month, you know, the Mississippi state flag, you know, has Confederate symbol in it. And Governor Bryant, he announced Confederate History Month, which is in April, during Black History Month at a Black History Month event. You know, so like all of these things are kind of like a slap in the face to like poor people, you know, the working people, the Black people. Yeah, we've been engaged in a fight back. I mean, that's the whole thing, though. It's like it's a bit difficult to hold to, and which is also, you know, also very important, like to hold off the reactionary forces and also build what we want to see in our lives, you know. And so we're caught in that in between, like of making sure that, like, you know, 5 years from now that there is a possibility of having co-ops and also building the co-ops too at the same time. That's the challenge. But what we've been able to do was to organize a coalition, a local coalition. It includes, you know, Cooperation Jackson, the Malcolm X grassroots movement, some folks from this group called Respect Our Black Dollars. You know, all of these different groups have came together and mobilized, you know, to fight back, you know, against these reactionary bills. And for the most part, a lot of the bills were defeated. The one that we're still kind of in limbo about is the airport. The FAA, they came and they put a block on it, which is cool for now, but it isn't out of the clear as of yet. The downtown annexation bill, that one failed. So yeah, so that's kind of where things are at. Yeah, trying to fight off the reactionary things. You know, it's just even in relation to you know, LGBT communities, you know, the folks not being able to get married, you know, or have certain things that, like, people who aren't people are heterosexual, you know, have access to. So it's, and even like there was even a bizarre bill about interracial marriage. So just to give you a range of like they brought everything, you know, the reactionary forces brought everything, and just like if we could get anything to pass, you know, in all of this, then we're on our way, you know. But luckily we had, you know, people who were, you know, down on the legislative floor, you know, reading the bills and up on everything, informing our community so that we can mobilize around it.
Could you please tell us about the Jackson boycott, divestment, and sanctions effort, and what is the Coalition for Justice?
So yeah, so the coalition is suggesting to boycott the surrounding areas. So Jackson is an 85% Black city that's surrounded by majority white counties, and those majority white counties, some of those people who introduced bills to the state, we're actually benefit off of some of the resources that are in Jackson that they're trying to seize control over. And so, you know, the coalition, you know, two of the strategies for the campaign, one is the boycott, divest, sanction, you know, Rankin County, Madison County, you know, the different surrounding counties. But the other one is also to support local businesses and cooperative development here in Jackson. Because if the thing about it is, in Jackson, there's a lot of the stores, a lot of the things that that you may want, like a lot of the outlet malls and places to buy things that, like, sit right out, literally right outside of the city of Jackson. And but they're also local businesses. They're also local things that people may not know of and may not be, you know, the chain kind of stores, but they do need to be supported, and we're figuring out ways to try to make sure that Jackson locally is supported. Because if we're in a position where we're still funding, you know, the people who are trying to take our city from us, that doesn't rock well, that doesn't make sense. And so yeah, so it's one part is boycotting them, but the other part is also supporting local businesses and supporting cooperative development here in Jackson. And so we're also asking, you know, anyone that lives outside of Jackson, you know, not to support those surrounding counties, you know, because the airport is in a better position now. We're not asking people to boycott the airport because we still have control, or like, yeah, the control is, yeah, it's still in our hands right now. But if that were to change, then maybe there will be, you know, asking people to fly into Memphis or asking people to fly into New Orleans. But yeah, as of right now, that's kind of where things are at. Yeah, with the coalition.
What I'm hearing is that what you're experiencing in Jackson is being experienced in city after city after city, especially large Black demographics or majority Black cities, where mm-hmm. you have a community that is on the offense trying to improve conditions because our democracy has failed them. And at the same time, they're on the defense trying to stop conditions from getting worse. And it's a tough row to hoe. And thank you for taking it on. And we're doing our best to help communities survive, and hopefully our better angels will keep sitting on our shoulders and guide us to the success that we seek. But at any rate, Move to Amend, as you know, is fighting to create an authentic participatory democracy representative of all people, not just the wealthy corporate interests. We want to abolish the Supreme Court-created doctrines of corporate constitutional rights and money equals speech so that a genuine democracy has the chance to flourish. And we recognize this will require systemic transformation where new institutions and processes are established. You were talking about the PMA. In what other ways do you make cooperative decisions in your community? And can you describe your process and how it might be duplicated on a larger scale nationwide?
Sure. So with the People's Assembly, decisions are made collectively, and there are different committees that focus on specific aspects, like some focus on education, some focus on jobs. There was an emergency meeting about the potholes in the roads. There was an emergency meeting about the airport. And those People's Assembly meetings, may be chaired by a different person, depending on who is the person that has a particular expertise. But in terms of how the decisions are made, they're made collectively amongst, all the folks who are, a part of the People's Assembly. In terms of cooperation, okay,
Let me interrupt here for a second, just so people get the idea. So the People's Assembly are the people, right? There's no registration. If you want to participate, you can just show up. Do I have it right?
Exactly. The People's Assemblies used to be done by ward. When Shokwe was city councilman, it was done in his ward only. But when he became mayor, it became a citywide thing. Even after his death, we've stayed. The People's Assembly has stayed being a citywide thing. And so with Cooperation Jackson, we have a coordinating committee. It's of six people. We're kind of like the vision holders for the organization, and we make decisions based on consensus. And in terms of our entire organization, we're gearing up to be able to have our first assembly in 2017. And our Cooperation Jackson Assembly will be a space where we're making decisions collectively about all of the different co-ops and all of the different projects that are part of Cooperation Jackson.
Very cool.
And in terms of, I think, building it out, one thing I think is really imperative for organizations or institutions or individuals to do before kind of embarking on like a project similar to what we're doing is to do research. It's really important to know your demographics, kind of what you're dealing with. Also, kind of what kind of economic situation whatever location you're at, all of these different things I think is important to do. Folks were doing research for the Jackson-Cush plan 10 plus years before it actually became a living document. So I would encourage, groups and individuals to do the research.
You're leading me directly into the next question. I've started a food collective in my neighborhood with some of my neighbors, and mm-hmm. we're gathering local gardeners to plan and share the fruits of our gardens among ourselves and with the local food banks and senior living centers. Mm-hmm. We have a few teachers, a builder, a few tradespeople, an engineer, and a nurse among us. And I'm hoping in the end that we can pool more than our food, but our skills as well. So I'm really interested in your first steps, the actual organizing behind the cooperative and the processes you undertook, and having mentioned doing your research. Part of your mission is clearly guiding others who want to duplicate your efforts. What advice would you give to those who are teetering on the brink of taking the first steps?
Yeah, so Yeah, I feel like part of it is the research part. Part of it is getting to know each other, knowing what kind of skills is in the room or is in the space, and figuring out what y'all feel makes the most sense to happen, to work on. I know for me, moving down to Jackson, I never thought in a million years that I would become a farmer. And I'm farming for the first time. And it's not because a personal desire, it's because of like what we found is necessary, you know, and what is necessary for us to achieve our goals. And I feel like people having a deeper sense of the project being geared towards something that is bigger than ourselves and bigger than like our lives, I think makes the commitment to what you want to do or to what we have to do, what we have to do actually much more strong. Because for me, like I didn't move down to Jackson to just do like a small project that only affects, you know, 30 to 50 people. I came down to Jackson because I want to transform this entire city. I want to transform this entire society, but I'm going to start in West Jackson, right? And I think it's important for folks to have a mindset of it, of thinking about the vision, you know, thinking about like, where do you want to go at the end of the day? You know, we may not have a map, you know, a rubric of how to get to where we go, but we need to know that we're heading towards a certain place. And that not being just like a singular project base, but it being something that is inclusive. But thinking about where to start, I feel like it's desired, but also like are people inspired to do things that they may not have thought that you would want to do, or like in order to achieve your goal. I feel like it's a shift out of being like an activist to being like an organizer, and a shift from being comfortable in your organizing to like thinking about what is necessary for us to achieve our goals. And, you know, for me, I think that requires us to do some things that we're uncomfortable with doing. And it also requires us to do some things that we don't know how to do. So we have to pick up new skills. We have to learn new things. And, you know, so the co-op development things that we're doing, a lot of us, it's our first time, you know, and, you know, we're learning while doing, but we feel that this is a part of the vision. And so this is what we feel makes sense for us to move on. I know for us, and I'm explaining about for us because I feel like it makes sense to share, because it may be reflective in other people's situation. You know, running Shokwe for office, you know, for city council and running him for mayor, that was part of a strategic plan to try to build economic democracy in a really, in a way that we could build to scale relatively quickly by using the city's, you know, mechanisms to be able to have access to city contracts, you know, and, you know, whatever kind of anchor institutions, you know, you look at schools, you look at, you know, universities, you look at hospitals, how can we, you know, build out, you know, cooperatives to actually that are, you know, from people who are in this community, you know, that they can have access to and to work a part of and to be worker owners. That's kind of how we're thinking. And if you in your area have, you know, local politicians that are friendly towards that idea, or folks who are in your camp already, you know, I feel like it makes sense to try to think broadly and think big, you know, about where you want to go and like what things exist in your current area. What pieces do you need in order to move and achieve your goals?
Well, you have certainly named a number of intersections at which Move to Amend is working, and I hope that Cooperation Jackson meets its goals. It certainly holds lots of promise, and we will be allies for your success when and if you need us. But we're almost out of time.
I wish this conversation could go on for another 30 minutes, but sadly, we're almost out of time. Brandon, what final comments would you like to leave with our listeners? And please let folks know how they can get involved with Cooperation Jackson, the Our Power campaign, and the Coalition for Justice.
First, I want to thank y'all for inviting me on to your show. I really appreciate the work that Move to Amend is doing in terms of, you know, making, you know, the Constitution something that is made for humans and not for corporations. And, you know, I feel like that work is very necessary. That work about visioning, you know, for how we can transform this place that we live is super necessary. And I thank y'all for being a part of that. And, you know, for me, Cooperation Jackson, and, you know, if people, you know, are interested in being connected with us, you can check out our website, www.cooperationjackson.org. There, anywhere you are in the world, you can become a friend of Cooperation Jackson and organize other people to support Cooperation Jackson in some kind of way. And when we're at a point where we're organizing and we're distributing goods and we're, like, we're selling things, like, we want to have people in all parts of the country, all parts of the world that we do commerce with, that we share and exchange and engage in solidarity economy with. And so that's a part of it too. On our website, you also can become a sustainer. It can be something as little as $5 a month to, you know, however much you feel you can give. But the sustainer program actually helps us to become and to be more self-sufficient. And so, yeah, so those are different avenues, different ways that folks can get connected with us. For the Coalition for Economic Justice, you can go to, they have a Facebook page, Coalition for Economic Justice, but also if you wanted to email them to find out more information, you can go to coalitionforeconomicjustice@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Brandon. We really appreciated having you on the show today. It was very informative and inspiring to hear from you, and we hope to have you back on in the future.
All right. Thank you all for having me.
Well, thank you. Thank you from me, too. It has been delightful having you here. You've given us a lot to think about and a lot to be hopeful about. So good luck, Brandon, and we hope to have you back for an update in not too distant future.
All right. Sounds good. Y'all be well.
And that's it for this edition of Move to Amend Reports. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Move to Amend Reports was created and brought to you by Move to Amend. Produced by national team members Keon Bliss, Laura Bonham, Egberto Willis, and Caitlin Saposi-Belknap, with the assistance of Renee Babcock, and with contributions from Move to Amend staff and affiliates. Opening theme entitled Move to Amend, performed by Shimako Noble and produced by Soul Circuitry.